Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Psy Effect, a show that deals with hot topics from all directions. And now, introducing the funny, the talented, the charismatic, the captivating, the woman who tells it like it is, your host, I am Psy.
Welcome to another edition of the Psy Effect Radio Show. I am Psy, your host, and I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the show weekly. Thank you so much for your support. And today's guest is Felton Pilot from the group Compunction. Now, I saw the show, the television show on TV1 on Song, and it premiered the group Compunction. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've been grooving to Compunction since I was 6 years old. You know, my mom and my aunt used to throw these parties with the disco ball in the middle and the colored lights. And I remember smelling the funny smelling cigarettes, you know, that ooey. And I remember listening to their music at a very young age. And if you aren't familiar with their music, here's a quick sample of it. But I just want to give you a little sneak peek and remind you of the hits that Compunction brought to us. The music, the roller skating, the grinding, I mean the dancing. Man, let me tell you guys, I'm so excited right now to be speaking with Mr. Felton Pilot. And we're going to be right back with him after this quick break. Tune in to the Psy Effect Radio Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for your hot topics, hot interviews, and hot music. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/ The Psy Effect Radio Show. See you there. Welcome to the Psy Effect. Felton of the group, the infamous, famous funk group of the century, because ain't nobody better than him. Mr. Felton, how you doing? Welcome to the Psy Effect.
Thank you, Psy. It's wonderful being here. And nice to know that we're infamous now. I appreciate that upgrade.
Man, let me tell you, you guys are infamous. How does it feel to know that you are still relevant in 2012?
Blessed, you know, I can appreciate say back in the day, being in the studio, actually recording with other musicians at the same time. There was a kind of a camaraderie that was kind of a blend, kind of a magic that can happen, you know, only if you're playing with several people at the same time, each mm-hmm. person adding their own musical personality to what's about to go down on tape. It's a whole different feel than as opposed to one guy sitting in, you know, in front of a computer and doing it all electronically. Now,
right.
don't get me wrong. I do a lot of that today. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the technology is available to me, but I really do miss that magic from back in the day of just having everyone in the studio at the same time and we just lay it all down.
Now, you guys were recently featured on Unsung a couple of weeks ago, and that's what prompted me to connect with you because I've always been a fan. I'm so trying not to act like a groupie right now. I toned myself down. I've been waiting for this interview all weekend, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take a deep breath. But I was so excited because I grew up listening to your music. I grew up going to parties at 9 and 10, 12, 13 in my teenage years, you know, dancing to your music. And it's just an honor to be speaking with you now. It really is. I can't say that enough.
Well, thank you so much. And in return, I'm honored that you take the time to do the interview here. Thank you.
How did you feel when you saw your story play out, Compunction story play out on Unsung?
Of course, it's always a unique situation to sit down and watch yourself on TV. That's, you know, that's always, wow, oh, dang, look at those circles on the eyes. Oh, my God, but since I was there telling, you know, the story, and of course they edited as far as all of the interviews, they just edited out, you know, what wasn't going to fit in a, you know, 40-minute, you know, time frame. You know, it's nothing of it was a surprise. No, I take that back. I didn't know about the accident that Lewis McCall and Danny Thomas had. Now, that I didn't know about. Everything else, it's part of my history, and it was just interesting just hearing it back. You know, it plays back like a motion picture in my mind, and it was, of course,
mm-hmm.
always interesting hearing it coming out of other people's mouths. But, you know, I thought it was a very well put together show, and I enjoyed watching it.
We did too. We all took to Twitter and Facebook. We were talking about it. A lot of people were blogging about it, and we loved it. We just get to see one picture. We don't get to see what happened before you hit the stage or what happened between the guys, you know, the women within the group. We don't get to see that. So it's always interesting to see what happened during those times. I thought it was a great segment of Unsung and very much long overdue.
Overdue, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Totally agree, yes.
Do you regret leaving Compunction when you guys had that spat?
For the first year, it was kind of rough because what I had to do was to pretty much reinvent myself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been Compunction for, you know, 16 years. And,
yeah.
You know, and so now I'm just Felton Violet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I went into producing full time. I opened up a recording studio and then I just went into producing full time. Right. And I just kept myself so busy that I didn't miss it. Of course, I did miss performing, and as a side note, you know, I love TV shows or movies or books about time travel, right? About how how you can go back and change one incident in your past, and then change your whole future.
Yeah.
Well, that one incident was a very defining moment for me, right? And it turned out later that had that incident not happened, I would have never met Jesse Hammer.
That's deep.
Yeah,
really is.
That incident, apparently in the great plan, had to happen so that MC Hammer and I would musically get together and accomplish what we did. I mean, you know, almost 15 million sales.
I'm sorry, that was the first MC Hammer album.
Actually, the first one we did was Let's Get It Started, Mm-hmm. And that sold, four or five million copies, you know.
Wow.
And then we did, sold 2 million copies. And then when we did You Can't Touch This, that was a Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Them. And that sold somewhere around, depending on who you ask, somewhere between 12 and 20 million copies. Just huge, right?
Historical.
Which, of course, you know, surprised me. Well, not so much surprised, you know, based on the success of the previous one. But mm-hmm. me, who was still, you know, and from that musician's point of view, I'm like, yeah, oh, come on now, rap music, come on. It's not going to last that long. And then someone had to point out to me later, well, dude, the reason, part of the reason why I'm still here, it's your fault. Because, you know, people kept saying, well, shoot, well, if MC Hammer can record and sell that many records, so can I.
Right.
You know.
Oh, my gosh. How was it to work with Hammer? You were going into a different genre. How was that? Was that easy to adjust for you?
You know what? I approached it as a musician and as a studio engineer, you know, because it's, I kept saying, yeah, you know what? It's all music. It's all music. It's all notes. And it's just, I just had to get used to a different way of approaching it. From a musician point of view, everything had to be in key and everything, you know. So it took me a minute to adjust to the concept of, you know, if you're scratching in some stuff, samples that aren't necessarily the same key of the song, I just, you know, I had to let loose of that musician part of me to make it happen. And it worked out just fine.
Okay.
And
I would have loved to be a bug in that studio. And we're going to go into one of your songs. Can you introduce Gotta Be Enough?
This song here was a song that I had written a track to. Michael Cooper wrote the lyrics. Hip Scarborough produced, and the Earth, Wind, and Fire horn section playing horns. The song is called Got to Be Enough.
What's your writing process? Do you write songs first, or do you create the music first?
That totally depends. There have been times when I've woken up and there's a lyrical idea, and I'll sit down and I'll write as many lyrics as I can. There's been other times when there's just been a groove stuck in my head, and I'll go lay the music first. And it really just totally depends on the inspiration at the moment. A good example, day before yesterday, I was working with a new client, and what they had was a set of lyrics, and that was it. And the set of lyrics and how the young lady was singing it became the whole inspiration of what to do with the track.
Okay.
And of course, you know, it isn't always an easy process. I remember writing some music once, and it took me 4 years to finally come up with some lyrics. Can't force it. I mean, it's been known to happen in a one day process. For example, when we cut Adam's groove for MC Hammer, we were supposed to send it out on Saturday, and as of Thursday night, we had nothing. We had absolutely nothing. At Friday morning at 9 o'clock, I walked in, wrote the track. Hammer came in, liked it, sat down and wrote the hook. And while I was busy recording the background, he was recording the hook. He was sitting in the corner writing the lyrics. We finished recording the hook. He came, did the lyrics, and left. You know, and so now the engineer and I, you know, working at Prince's Studio, we knocked out the entire song from scratch to finish mix in 15 hours. And
wow.
was able to turn it on Saturday.
And
that worked.
That album was crazy. I'm not going to brag on my pop locking skills because, you know, I don't want anybody to be hating on me, but I did some serious pop locking to that whole album. I'm not going to lie. I was in the car doing my potluck move when my son was driving. He's like, Mom, really? Seriously? You've been, like, doing that same move since I've been alive.
you should have it perfected by now, right?
Exactly. I'm a professional always. I try to be. Now, what advice would you give to upcoming musicians and songwriters coming into this beast of an industry?
Oh, here we go. It is called the music. It is called the music business for a reason. Keep that in mind. It is called the music business for a reason. Yes, you can sit here and write songs just to please yourself all day long.
Mm-hmm.
There is a business involved with this, and record companies, both major and independent, thrive on the fact that there are certain rules of business that have to apply. In addition to that, master your craft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, totally master. If you're a musician, you know, spend that extra time, master your instrument. You know, it is true that modern software makes it easier not to have to be a master musician.
Right.
And I wouldn't say that it is required. You know, it's not like I am, you know, like the world's greatest pianist. I know enough to get my song recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so right. But yeah, if you're a singer, you know, take those voice lessons. It's, you know, I hear that Stevie Wonder still has a vocal coach. You know, so. You know, master your craft, be willing to put in the time and the energy. You know, people, you know, who are, you know, they appear to be instant successes, probably not.
Well, guys, you got great advice from a veteran. Listen. He's not playing. He's a veteran in the game, and he knows what he's talking about. So, you know, he's an OG, I should say. Now, Mr. Pilot,
Yes. What
artists are you listening to today? Who do you like?
I'm a Neo fan, actually. I like Neo. I like Usher. I like Smokey Norville.
Oh, love him too.
Let me see now. Oh my God! I mean, there is so much stuff on my iPad that I listen for different reasons, right? And
mm-hmm.
This may be surprising. There's a country group called Rascal Flatts.
Hmm. Writing that down.
Write that down. Take a listen to them. We're talking about the art of writing a hit song, they have got that down to a science.
Wow.
I mean. They have a beautiful song called I Won't Let Go
mm-hmm.
that I just recorded on a CD that I'm recording for my granddaughter.
On song, the song Love Train.
Right.
Does the lady know the song was about her? You know, when you guys,
I'm sure she does.
I
have no doubt that I'm sure she knows.
Wow,
yeah.
have you like when you guys were recording? Were you guys still like seeing her, or you know, we trying to get the dirt. we want some stuff Unsung didn't tell us.
Okay. Well, here's something that Unsung didn't say. The young lady wound up being my wife.
Really?
Yeah.
She picked you.
okay.
That's what I really wanted to know.
Yeah.
Who she picked? You know, I kind of knew that. I knew that because I forget the other guy's name, and I do apologize for not remembering the other member name that sung the song. Michael Cooper. I apologize, Mr. Cooper, just in case you're listening. But he was singing that song like he was getting ready to be kicked to the curb. He lost her. He knew he was on the end. He knew he was about to get the papers, you know. I was like, God, who won? I know it wasn't a competition, you know, hearts were involved, but you know, I know that a lot of people were wondering about that, including myself, so I had to put that out there for my Facebook family. What are two of your favorite compunction songs?
That is so hard. It's like trying to answer which of your children are, yeah, which is your favorite child. So
yeah,
you know. That's hard. I'll break it down into my favorite up-tempo song is Got to Be Enough.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
My favorite ballad would probably be Straight from the Heart.
Oh, that's beautiful. I was listening to that last night. Beautiful ballad. Was that about anyone in particular?
Actually, it wasn't. You know, the inspiration of that song came from, you know, when Confunction used to be a top 40 band. We used to play a lot
mm-hmm.
of stuff by the Stylistics and the Delphonics.
Okay.
And Blue Magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like most musicians, you know, most musicians are a blend of people that they used to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so.
Yeah.
That Philly sound was such a big stuff. Was a big influence on. I'll say me and in particular, Tom Bell, the guy who used to produce Stylistics, the Spinners, and the Delphonics. I was such a big fan of him that song was actually my tribute to Tom Bell.
What do you think the music of today is lacking? Besides you writing everything and producing.
Okay. Well, the advent of today's computers and you know, it winds up being a good news and bad news kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
right? For people like me, it becomes an additional tool to get done what I would have done anyway faster.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? You know? Saves a lot of time in the studio, and interest of, you know, because you know the idea that time is money. If you're working in a studio that's costing you $50-$100 an hour, yes,
mm-hmm.
you want to spend as little time in there as you can possibly creatively get away with, right? So
mm-hmm.
if you can copy and paste your vocals from the first chorus to the second chorus, you've now saved yourself 30 minutes, you know, of
mm-hmm.
having it all over again, right?
Yeah.
Okay. on the other hand, it takes away some of that, I'm going to say, organicness of the difference, and that's, of course, you might have sang it a little bit differently, and the word feel comes to mind,
mm-hmm.
that whole thing that you can feel of any old Motown recording or any, the Stax records, the song kicked to our old Aretha Franklin recording, the word feel comes to mind, the song.
Give you the chills. Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to get that feel from a drum loop,
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
So that the advent of today's technology, it becomes a good news, bad news kind of thing. And as a result, I'd say a lot of stuff that we're hearing today, the word mediocrity has become the norm. And we had that music business thing where, if you put enough dollars behind it, literally, you can promote a mediocre song to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
If you have enough dollars to put behind it, people have gotten so used to hearing relatively mediocre songs, and they just hear so much that they just accept it as the norm, So that would be the thing I would be, the biggest difference between a lot of songs of today versus songs from back in the day.
It's been a pleasure. I don't want to let you go. The clock is running out. We're down to 2 minutes. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to come on and talk with me. And I'm just so excited to share you with the Psy Effect Radio Show fans. And before I let you go, what projects are you working on, and what website or how anyone can get in contact with you to listen to your new music, download, contact you to work with you?
I'm Felton at feltonpilot.com. Mm-hmm. You can visit my website at, Felton Pilot, www.feltonpilot, that's pilot, as spelled in the Bible, P-I-L-A-T-E. Mm-hmm. FeltonPilate. I'm on Facebook. Find me at Felton Pilot. My phone number is on there. Hey, contact me.
Okay. And I want to thank you again for coming on the Psy Effect Radio Show.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, the Psy Effect fan page. Also, I am Psy on Twitter. So tune in next time on the Psy Effect.